Welcome to this episode of the Soul Frequency Show. I'm Shauna Lee, modern day woman living a mystical life. Are you guys coming to hang out with me for the Soul Frequency Session episodes? I am loving some of the emails I'm getting. I'm having so much fun doing these. You guys are just awesome. So keep them coming. If you haven't heard the session episodes, they are like quick little girl chat, stripped down, fun, 5 to 10 minutes of awesomeness. So come hang out with us. And oh my gosh, today we're talking about one of my most favorite subjects with one of my fave people. We're talking about channeling. And if you've never heard of it, you're in for a big surprise. It's actually likely that you do this every day and you might not even realize it. Or maybe you're the person that like loves the topic of channeling and you can't wait to know more. You are in luck because I have someone really special here today and we're going to dive into the nitty-gritty on channeling. My guest says, just be open. Not having to be right or wrong, not having something need to be good or bad, just to lighten up to what is possible. The truth is that everything is possible and pretty much everything is happening. In the third dimension reality we call the world that we're living in, we are going through major changes and transformations. This week, I had second generation channel, clairvoyant, clairaudient, medium, and intuitive psychic Grace Kavanaugh on the show. She had an extreme awakening in 2005, immediately after her father was suddenly killed in a head-on collision. The shock moved her perception to a new level, and all the psychic gifts she had had as a child began to awaken. Grace went through and experienced a very steep expansion in consciousness in order to open, learn, and balance these new ways of being, all of which led to the creation of the Eternal Light Foundation and her life's work. On today's episode, Grace shared what it is like to channel, the fear that must be transmuted to share our gifts, and we did a very special live channeling with Osyra. With no further ado, my amazing and beautiful friend, Grace Kavanaugh. I'm so excited you're being on the show with me today.
Hi, thank you. I'm so excited to be with you.
I know. This is double exciting because I know you, Grace, and I am going to be bragging about you throughout the show, but before I start bragging about you, we'll like actually tell people what we're going to be talking about today. That's probably good. We're going to be talking about channeling, and I'm sure we're going to go off in so many different directions because that's kind of what we do. Mm-hmm. But let's just start at like the doorway of this. So for people that are listening who are like, what is channeling? Can you just give us like a brief description of what is channeling?
Well, I think, you know, channeling has a little bit of a connotation in different people's minds. For me, what channeling is a natural form of communication between humans, natural communication between animals, spirits, angelic beings, non-physical entities, even the earth, you know, like plants, everything. We are in a constant communication with all of life, and all of life doesn't have to exist only in the 3D reality of what we perceive as the world. And so energetically, those of us who are like on the path in any way, starting to wake themselves up about what is reality, what is spirituality, what is the world, why am I here, what is my life really for, all of those kinds of deeper questions that start to get asked along the way, when you start to tap into that, you start to realize that there is more beyond what we perceive as just the physical 3D world. And you know, the life beyond, which is how it described to talk about different realities, different dimensions beyond the veil when people pass, heaven, you know, different dimensions. But so channeling is that, but I also say that channeling is a natural organic process of being human because we are tapped in as spirit. And so it's not just communication with the angels or the master guides, although, you know, that's a primary focus for me for sure, and lots of people. we all have an ability to tap into these fields of consciousness. And we use that field of consciousness even in channeling art or channeling, you know, they say that a basketball player who's really good practices, you know, 10,000, you know, shots into the basket, but they're really channeling their greatest self when they're playing the game. That doesn't mean that they didn't practice. Same with a piano player. But sometimes, like, so a piano player is channeling this incredible gift in creation. And that is also called channeling. In my experience, in my opinion, you can tell when someone is in an alignment and sort of downloading, and that could also be considered channeling. So, but you know, for the kind of channeling that I do, I became aware of channeling, the word channeling. Young, when I was 15, my mom had an actual channeler, like a medium, spiritual medium, come to the house, and a group came together. She was traveling, and she came to the house, and a group of people that I didn't know came to the house, and they had this event at my house. And I sat there in my living room and listened to this woman channel. And so that was my first like understanding of that word and that frame of reference. But later in my life, like in my mid-20s, I would say, I was sort of on my own spiritual path, but I was also on a healing path, like my own self-growth, personal self-growth path. And that I would be in conversation with other women. I was in a lot of women's healings groups and personal development groups and like intimate, like especially women, because I was just learning how to be a woman, really. And I started to realize when I was talking to these women on the phone in support of them or something they may be going through or a hard time they're having or something was happening, I would notice that I naturally would be listening and being present and wanting to be of service and help them in any way I can or could. And what would happen is all of a sudden I would start talking and I would go kind of on a rant or a tirade and I would sort of download really awesome stuff, like stuff that I was like, when it was all done, after I said it all, I took a moment and I said, whoa, that was for me too, because I don't even know where that came from because it wasn't me. And I know so many people have had that same kind of experience. I know that that's like not a uncommon thing, but for me, like my 25, 26 year old self was just like, whoa, that was beyond me. It was stuff that was really awesome information or support or reflection or guidance or, you know, ways to help the person. And it was so beyond my own capacity that I started to realize I was channeling that, like, but I wasn't like doing the way I do now. That was just a natural organic part of channeling. So that's why I say it's a natural form of communication that I think we all do at different times. And then the kind of channeling that I do, or an animal communicator, or, you know, so there's lots of different ways that we do that. I hope that answers the question. Do you think so?
Yeah, no, I think that's awesome. And I think it's great to point out. I love how you point out, like, you know, with music and with things. I mean, I think we've all had an experience at one time or another in our life where you go into the zone. You know, people call it the zone, I think, sometimes, but it's an alignment and you're just kind of, I always equate it to like, you kind of lose space and time. So like when people are doing art or something, it's like, you have that feeling almost when you wake up from it, you're like, oh, what time is it? You know, you're like, what am I doing? And so I love that you use that example, because I think everybody can identify with that at one point in their life, if not often in their lives.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. It's just becoming conscious of it. It's becoming aware of it. It's becoming open to it. It's in the allowing, you know, and then it depends on the person. If it's sort of their call or their desire to go a little deeper with it, then they can. You know, I know people who really want to do channeling, and it opens up for them to a certain degree. And then there's other people who have it like very, 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 very naturally. Doesn't mean that either one of them is wrong or one is better than the other. It's just that we're all wired very particularly in a lifetime for various things. And we're just learning how to tap into those things for ourselves. But I do believe that everybody has a natural form of this kind of ability. So we do it with each other all the time.
Yeah, I love that. And so if you can explain a little bit, I want to go back to into some of your life experience, which I know you touched on, mm-hmm. but how would you explain what's going on in the channeling that you do now? Like, so people haven't heard you, you know, most people I'm sure listening haven't maybe heard you channel. And so what is happening from your perspective when
I'm channeling?
Yeah.
Okay. So for me, I don't like to label it, although I know people do. People label it trance channeling or conscious channeling. I only know my own experience, and I try to stay away as much as I can from kind of labels, because I always want to be, I want to say organic and natural and true. And one of the things at the beginning for me with regards to this work at all was this overwhelming feeling and desire to be 1,000,000,000% authentic and real and true, that there was nothing in the way that was not, I guess the word is still authentic, because my integrity was the thing that pushed me, you know, like it mattered to me to be integritous with being authentic. And so I didn't step out in regards to channeling for a good couple of years before, meaning in the public or really, really letting people know that this is what I did, until I felt that I had moved through a lot of things that, that I was personally uncomfortable with. And so, you know, my road to channeling was very specific. And so saying, you know, what happens, well, there was a lot of stages of what happened and what happens. For me now, it's so easy. It's literally like, I don't know, channeling now is so easy. There's no preparation. There used to be preparation. I used to have to feel like I had to meditate for a long time. I used to feel like I had to breathe right. I had to hold crystals in the beginning. I had to, you know, that was sort of my tools to make myself feel okay, that I was really doing something that was in the alignment of the way that I thought it should be. And along the way, I dropped a lot of that stuff. And now it's just natural as, you know, I don't know, sitting down to color, honestly, it's so easy. But that's because I've been doing it for a long time. And how it works for me is I step aside. And what that means to some people and what that is for me, I don't think it's translatable. I try really hard to express what that's like, but it's like internally, there's a way that I just close my eyes and I breathe. And the consciousness of grace, the one that's talking right now, this sounds so like what would be the word, third person, and so disassociated, but it's really not, because we are a whole of so many parts of ourselves. And when you integrate certain aspects of yourself, the egoic construct becomes very clear. And my egoic grace self conversation person, woman in the world, the one who goes to sleep and then has dreams and the body's laying there, I can step off. It's like that. So it's sort of like stepping aside and witnessing myself, the body, and what's happening. It's not scary. It's so comfortable. It's so beautiful. It's so natural. I think we all have these kinds of abilities. And so it's just a beautiful thing. I step aside, and then they come and they just sort of plug in. Who's they? Osira. And they are the ones that I channel the most. That's they're the guides who I channel the most. I channel other ones as well, but starting with them, because they're the ones who really, I would say, taught me how to be this, taught me and worked with me. And I worked with them in an agreement. But I will say, at the beginning, many, many, many years ago, I was very resistant to that. I was very afraid, not because I'm not afraid, like as in the darkness and Satan and stuff like that. I was afraid because I didn't know how to do it and I didn't want to look bad. I was like, oh my God, what is this like? What is this? Who am I going to be? I'll be a crazy woman. I mean, like that all had to come in so that I could move through it and transmute it and just, you know, become who I'm supposed to be and accept myself as I am and understand how I'm wired. And so that goes back to the beginning because I was really wired like this already early on as a child. And I don't know if you want me to go back there, but you know, there's a lot of parts to this. So I step aside and they come in and they speak. And it just sounds very different today than it did in the beginning. In the beginning, it was really uncomfortable and sounded really fast. And sometimes you couldn't make any sense of the words. And there was a strong, serious learning curve to it. And part of the learning curve for me, not everybody goes through this, but part of the learning curve for me in getting out of my own way was just a ton of emotion, tears, crying, uncomfortability, judgment, self-judgment, self-recrimination, fear of what the world would think, fear of how it is that, you know, I came to understand that thousands of years of persecution for being an intuitive on any level is still in the collective consciousness field. And not only that, I definitely actually lived lifetimes like that for sure, like most of us, and had to experience that come up within my own consciousness and literally take over at times where I had these feelings of like, if I did this in the world in 2005, 6, 7, 8, 9, I thought that I would be killed. It's an irrational thought. I knew it was irrational, but they were literal feelings that were like a residue that were still in my awareness, my consciousness, my body system, maybe my DNA. So I was very conscious that that was an issue that I was having to move through and transmute in order to get to a place where I was free to be this and step into that fully.
Ooh, I love this. And I want to talk about, you touched on something. That's such a great explanation, by the way. And I think, you know, I think that part of, I want to talk about resistance and fear, but I think that part of why we fear things that we don't know anything about is because we haven't been walked through them, right? Like we don't understand them, or we don't understand, you know, how it works. And so fear has us just shut the door to seeking more knowledge about that. And when we can sit with something and be, you know, have something described to us in such amazing detail that, like you're doing, that it really opens our minds and we can find where we connect to that information. Like maybe we, you know, like we're going back to channeling music or channeling different things, like, oh yeah, I kind of do that. Right. Yeah, and right. Then we can talk about those next levels and how that opens up. But I want to talk about fear and resistance, through kind of the portal of, coming to terms with when you are opening up to some of these gifts, let's just call them gifts, or intuitions, various levels of intuition or channeling or things like that, because I don't know anybody that hasn't gone through the process of opening up like myself. I mean, this included 100,000,000%, that doesn't go through a lot of fear and resistance to it.
Yeah.
And can you talk about that? Because I think that, you know, I've never seen, I've never seen, it almost seems like the more someone's opening up, the more resistance there is. And the resistance is so tricky sometimes, and it can hide as, you know, as different things, and we can justify it and we just push up against it. And part of that, you know, part of literally like realizing who we are on a whole other level and opening up to things is working with that resistance.
Absolutely. I think I think the resistance actually is a treasure chest, honestly. If we do lean up against it and we do actually dive into it, we discover the gifts of that. We really, there's like you said, the gifts to me, they're also abilities. So the ability to transmute, to be an alchemist, is to turn what it is that into the gold, right? And so I think our fear comes up to be turned into gold. I think it turns into the gift. I think it turns into the offering. I think that it's not even about being brave. It's about having the courage to know that this is such a game that we're playing with ourselves, this life thing. And the way that we are transmuting fear and resistance gives us such an opportunity. And here's the thing, is something that came to me this morning. When things change, they really change if we can accept that. Like, it can be that change is huge. So for me, change comes through my willingness to expand into the places where I'm clearly in fear or I'm clearly in resistance. And now that doesn't mean that that happens overnight. Just even if I have the intellectual knowing of like, oh, if I transmute this, I'll feel better. It doesn't work like that. There's a sort of a natural process, right? I'm always about the conversation going back to the natural organic process of our evolving. And when you when you psychologically or intellectually realize that you are in resistance and in fear, you have to deal with the many layers of that before it actually transmutes, or before you can really dive into seeing what the gold is, right? You have to, there's layers, there's levels, there's a process, and it's a natural organic process. I've seen that in my life. That's kind of how I did this thing. What I mean by this thing, the thing of becoming a channeler, accepting my abilities and my gifts as an intuitive, clairvoyant, clairaudient, clairsentient being in the world, it required me to really and truly constantly trust myself. And that is one of the big things. Those people who work with me and stuff, we have a conversation about that regularly. I'm always bringing it back to that because it was my literal life path. It was part of my walk. I mean, we are constantly looking outside of ourselves for validation, for did I do it right? Did I get it right? Teach me another thing. And I get that. We all need that to a certain extent. We need certain parts of that. But the process of trusting ourselves leads to the liberation of fear. It really does in any situation. Any situation. So if I'm talking about that in regards to myself and my journey to become a channeler and allow myself to be this oracle type woman that, you know, I had my own resistance and judgment about, that was first. I couldn't even deal with how I thought the world was going to think about it, but that was infiltrating. But I couldn't even really deal with that. I had to first deal with myself about that. So, you know, looking at how it is that we get into fear and resistance in any area of our life is a great, great opportunity. It is actually the liberation. On the other side of that fear is the true liberation of that very thing.
I love that. So true. So mm-hmm. true. And I think, you know, it's interesting because after doing so many interviews for the show, you know, the liberation is like ultimately what people, that feeling, right? That feeling of liberation or free to be, like freedom. We go to it in so many different, you know, there's so many different paths to talking about that, mm-hmm. but it comes up again and again on the show. And it's like, you know, by you saying it's the gift and like it's the other side, you know what I mean? Of that, opening up that gift is so powerful because sometimes I think we're so busy like thinking the fear shouldn't be happening or the resistance shouldn't be happening, or we're running from that or hiding from it or whatever we're trying to do, that we're not seeing the gift and we're not seeing that ultimately leads to where we want to go.
Yeah. I mean, and that's a natural human response to a certain extent, right? Like our natural survival skill keeps us from dealing with things just so we can move forward, really. Keep surviving. And so but when you slow down enough and you get really present with yourself in the context of living this life, why am I in a body? What am I here for? How is it that I am to be the greatest version of myself that I can be? How can I live and offer the best to myself and others? When we start to slow down and become aware of our own inner experience, there's when we come into contact with that fear and that those thought forms that may not always be our own, first of all, they may be projections, they may be from family members, they may be cultural, they just may be worldwide, they may be in this collective agreement that we've come here to transform. But when we become aware of that, if we slow down enough to really feel into that place, but most people don't. We are uncomfortable with our feelings. We haven't been taught to even embrace our feelings, first of all, to like not run from the fact that you feel overwhelmed or sad or you're in grief or you're in pain. We just haven't been taught most of the time how to feel. And so in not knowing how to feel, we don't know how to be in communion, at oneness with ourselves. How can we be at oneness with the world and in face of all the things that happen in the world if we don't even know how to stand still with ourselves and hold a vibration of, it's okay, let me just feel this. Because if I feel it, I can possibly move through it and it will become something new. But we instead, we've been really taught to resist, push it away, run away, distract, become addicted to other things outside of ourselves that distract and pull us out of actually feeling what it is to be human and experience this interior life that we have. And it's the interior life that, like, when I say to you that I step aside, that's this beingness, this consciousness, this fullness, and the awareness of grace as the personality and construct of selfhood that steps aside and just lightens this load. And that's the part of me that I have looked at and worked with and worked on and moved through places in myself that it's just unspeakable. It's not easily translatable, but this journey is for everybody. We just talk about it differently than it's hard. No one's going to have the exact same experience, first of all, because we come here for our own. And, but the conversation that we can have with each other, it's like constantly speaking foreign languages to each other and trying to act as if we understand.
No, I've talked about this so many times on the show, Grace. I'm like, words just fail. Like words, there's no words for, like, you know what I mean? It's like, you can't quite encompass it in words.
Yeah.
It's so cool. And so who is Osira?
So Osira is a beautiful, wonderful family of light beings, what I would consider as angelic helpers and guides and guardians. And there's many, many of them. And why I call them a family, they call themselves a family, is because there's sort of this Osira, we here in the third dimension, like in conversations with people. And so we like to have names and we like to have titles, and it gives us identifiers, and that works here very well for the third dimension. So they are like, I stumble on it because I want to always get it right, but they're like angels and guardians and guides under the name of Osira, because there's many, many, many who are in league together. So a league of angels or guardians and guides who are choosing to be together on a level of consciousness for the benevolence that they can offer, the goodness, the highest love, highest information, highest light, highest help that they can offer to humanity. But 12 of them come. So at any given time, there's 12 of them that merge sort of as one voice. Like I said in the beginning, it wasn't always like that. You could almost hear the different ways that each one of them sort of took a stand or talked. But now it's very singular, and they're just this ongoing conversation. So they are like angels, and they, depending upon who's in front of me, if it's a big group, if it's a one-on-one session, if it's teaching something in particular, 12 come based upon what is needed or necessary for that experience. Did that sort of do it?
Yeah, no, that's so cool. And so what, from like, since we talk all about frequency on the show, from like a frequency standpoint, are they like, so if someone, from a frequency standpoint, are they at like a higher frequency? Therefore, like, it's not something that everybody like is hearing, you know what I mean? Angels and guides and things like that at this time?
Well, so I would say they're definitely a higher frequency. They don't physically, you know, they're like light and sound and vibration, but they are love and they are in all of creation, just like everything is. What I would say is, I guess it's for those people who really believe in that, who believe in the frequencies at being different levels, right? Like who know this to be true based upon their own living experience or what they feel or what they can conceive of is possible. But yeah, they are high vibration. When they come in and speak, you know, sometimes it's super, super intense, as you know. Sometimes they can speak so fast and, you know, affect the energetics in the room so strongly that there's no doubt. You can feel it penetrate the body. People get emotional or cry or laugh or get super, super sleepy because it's too much to take. So there's a lot of different ways that that frequency transmits into the third dimension.
Yeah, for sure. I can attest to that. It's an incredible experience. For sure. Do they want to come and share? Do you want to do that?
Oh, it's possible. I think we could do that. Let's see. You want to talk a little bit more and we'll sort of end on that or something?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, we'll tease you guys a little bit who are listening in. they come with a big welcome. So anyhow, so for somebody who's feeling like, because I sense like some people feel like, wow, this is really hitting home for them. Mm-hmm. And this is like can feel a little bit scary, like, wow, I'm coming into new information or a new level in my own life. What's your recommendation for people that are feeling that? Because I know, you know, in my own journey, it can feel destabilizing a little bit when you start like seeing life in a little bit of different way, or you come upon new information that feels like I remember this, or this is old information. This isn't really new. This is more of like a remembering that's going on. What are your recommendations for people that might be experiencing something along those lines?
That's a great question because I experienced that myself. I mean, when I really hit into my like radical spiritual awakening, which, you know, back 15 or so more, maybe more than that, years ago, when that was happening for me, that wasn't a conversation that was being had at that time. I talk about it like, you know, nowadays Oprah talks about it and she's all over it. And so the general public, for the most part, were having those kinds of deeper soul conversations about awakening and with all the teachers that are doing it for a long time. But when I was going through this, my paradigm of reality got blown open. Well, my paradigm of reality got blown open in the year 2000. And I started to get these downloads and got actual connections to the reality in a different way than people were perceiving it. And it was so new to me. I was very destabilized. It kind of sent me into a little bit of a depression because I was like, whoa, oh my God, the world is not the way that I was told it is. And there's deeper layers and there's way more. And then about 5-6 years later, it got even more intense. And then I went on a spiritual deep dive into like what we would call the paranormal, coming into my own, you know, focus and experience of being a channeler and a clairvoyant and seeing different dimensions and how to have one foot in the world and one foot in the other worlds. And that was a very challenging time. So I do understand when people are going through any part of that, like, wait a minute, I think I'm remembering that this is all sounds true, but boy, it does not line up with what I was brought up. And what I say to people at that point is just allow yourself to go slow and just be open, not have to be right or wrong. Something has to be good or bad. It's just to lighten up on what's possible. Because if you look in the world, the truth is that everything is possible and pretty much everything is happening. And in the third dimensional reality called the world that we are living in, we are going through major changes and transformations. And if someone is experiencing the destabilization of a paradigm that they have thought they were in and that the way life is and things starting to change, I say just go easy with yourself. Find like-minded individuals as much as you can who are kind of either talking about or read books that are about the things that you're starting to understand or remember or feel into. Talk to people like me or other people, listen to people like you with your show who are doing, you know, waking up people even incrementally along the way can be super, super helpful. So I always want to reflect the idea that go at your own pace, trust yourself, and feel into things and open up as gently as you can. I mean, some people get opened up pretty radical. I mean, I did. I had no idea about some of the things that I had to learn or live or experience. I didn't think they were real. But then when I experienced them, you know, there is nothing like direct experience. Direct experience is the it. Once you've had direct experience with things for real, there's no one that can take away your knowing. And that's what I had to come to terms with. Like, once I had these interdimensional experiences where in my reality of life, with my physical, you know, my body in the world, in my house, stone cold sober, awake, and experiencing spirits and different dimensions and portals and things like this, that made me, at some point in the process, I claimed it. And I said, you know what? No one can take away what I have experienced. No one can discount. No one can tell me what I experienced was not what I experienced, because I know. I know. And so, capital K, no, I know. So your own interior experience and trusting yourself and aligning with people that can support you in that. And I think that so much so now, we have so much more ability to be connected to people who are waking up, teachers going through things, groups, workshops, places where we can connect with other people, not only online, but I think in person is a very important part, because we have to feel these vibrations with our bodies. Our body mind is a part of this experience of the spirit, the truth of us, our higher self. And in order to really anchor, to change the world, that is really what we're all doing, we have to balance that while being in the body, not just outside of our body, like not just, you know, embodying this remembering is huge in my world. The way that I want to teach and offer and help people get this on a cellular level or wake themselves up, what's already programmed within them. So it's sort of like an uncovering and a discovering and a discarding, because some things you have to discard in order to open up to the next level. So that there's all of that that happens in the process of paradigm changing.
Yes, good word. Mm-hmm. It's so true. And I want you, let's have you share where people can connect with you if they are feeling the pull for that, because that's the one thing I want to add to what you're saying too, is like, if you trust yourself and you start to listen within, you'll feel pulled to certain people and to certain experiences. And those, you know, I call it like the cosmic scavenger hunt. It's like, you will know, like, I need to go here, or I need to talk to this person, or, you know what I mean? Like, it really does pull you. And so I feel that people will be pulled from this conversation. And so why don't you share where they can find out more about sessions with you? And I know you have an event coming up.
So sure. My website is gracekavanaugh.com. That's C-A-V-A-N-A-U-G-H. Kavanaugh.com. And then, or you can also find me, if you can't remember how to spell my name, Eternal Light Foundation. And that's the best way to find me, on my website. And, you know, my workshop is coming up. Right now we're speaking in the end of May of 2018. And in June and July, I have a 3-series workshop, which you have taken, so you know. Yes. And that is an awesome experience. That's coming up again that's the first one this year. There will probably be another one before the year's end. And then those generally happen probably usually now twice a year. So, you know, whenever people find me, maybe that'll be happening. But I'd love anybody who's interested just to get in contact anytime. That's wonderful. And then there's always more stuff happening. I do an online group monthly live channeling. So that's like a webinar and we have conversations and get to ask questions. And that's really awesome. That's also on my website. Sometimes I'm doing retreats, and I think there's a retreat possibly coming up at the end of this year. And so lots of good stuff. And I'm just always happy to connect with people. I do, you know, Zoom sessions all over the world and one-on-one and mentorship. So I'm just grateful to be serving this collective awakening that we're all in. And it's a beautiful process with individuals. So yeah.
Yeah. I love it. And I just want to say that I have, Grace is near and dear to my heart, a special, special person. And one of the things that makes her so incredible is what she shared about earlier is the authenticity. Mm-hmm. And I think when, you know, sometimes what we need to hear the most is like, yeah, I know where you're at. I've been through it. I'm going through it. You know what I mean? Like I can help you with this level, you know, but honoring that, like, nobody is finished or perfect or done in the world, right? That we are always expanding and growing, and to have a really open, authentic, transparent person to help on that journey is so important. And so I can't say enough good about the events and the workshop that she had. I've taken that. I've done individual sessions with her. And I just find, because I am so, feel people's energy and stuff, it's just pure with Grace, and she's just wonderful. And so I just wanted to share my own personal experience because I love you guys. And you know, everybody feels called to different things. And so if the call is there, I always say, don't do something because someone says it's great unless the call is there for you. But if the call is there, awesome.
I appreciate that too for me, for sure. And for them. But the other thing that I want to say that you said, which was really, really true, is that, you know, we're all on this. I'm never purporting that I am like the finished product and I'm some guru. And I'm like, I'm just telling you my truth as I am in the constant evolving myself as a human being, as a mother, as a woman, you know, having now seemingly a lot of life experience. I mean, this way, knowing that I think probably, you know, there's stages of awakening and enlightenment and evolving and consciousness. And I don't think there's an end situation here where you like, got it. I think there's, even for those who are there, there's a service and a purpose for that. So those teachers that have seem really awake and really are here for a mission of higher consciousness and delivering something powerful to the world. Those embodiments, I believe, are in an evolving for their own. And it is when we leave the body, death is not a scary thing, but for some people I get that it is, but death is not the end. And I believe that really when you're leaving the body, that's when you've got it all for this time. that's when you've, you know, really woke up.
Yeah, it's so funny because we talked about on another episode how when you are first beginning, it's like you have this construct sometimes, like where you're like, oh, if I could just get this lesson or get over this, then I'm like scot-free, right? Like I've arrived, I'm there, I'm at enlightenment or whatever you want to call it, right? And then you realize like in the journey that like, oh, there's just new thresholds to cross and there's just new doors that open. And the more that you embrace that and trust yourself, it happens even faster and faster, right? Like, and you, and then I remember a point where I look back and I'm like, oh, like that is the journey, right? Like there's no arrive, like, cause I have this sense like, oh, I'm going to arrive at some point somewhere, like get to a destination. Yeah. And then it's like, wait, this is constant process.
Yes. And that's the thing. I have often felt like at times in my own life that I felt like I'm waiting for my real life to begin. Wait a minute. Wait, when I get there, I'll be better. on this now. So that means that's my real life. And like, so I have noticed this feeling as the human part of myself in the journey. I felt this, it's almost like I'm doing time. Cause when I another place, it'll be better. And so I really have to catch myself and own that. And I really get that that is, it's a vibrational construct of frequency in this reality to be there. And it's been perpetrated upon us even deeper and deeper in our capitalistic society. Oh, if I get this, if I get that, if I get that achievement, if I get that award, if I get that house, if I get that partner, I'll be better. It'll be righter. And so I feel like I've noticed myself at times feeling that if that feeling of like I'm doing time to get to that place where it will be the end result, the big shebang, the I've arrived. Okay, now it's all good. And when I catch myself in that place of like, I'm doing time, when it gets there, I'll be better. I really draw myself back into the present moment. And I honestly, like the best trick I have is I go outside and I look at the green trees and I look at the flowers and I look at the birds and I listen to the birds and I get present with the reality of the world that I'm experiencing. I get present. Mm-hmm. Our presence is everything for the expansion of our life. When we think it's something in the future, when we think it's some way that we'll be, when we think it's when a person or a thing happens, that is the biggest trap in stealing your life force of present creation. So, you know, there's that.
Yeah. No, it is. It's so true. I was just thinking I'm going to use that quote. I'm going to use that quote, girlfriend. I'm like, that's so good. That's going on. That's going on the page. Because it's so real. And it's like, only when you can step back from that, do you really get in the moment, right? Yeah. Because we're so, I mean, I've done this so much in my life, like chasing the future, you know what I mean? It's just like, not even here. I mean, and it's so funny for anybody that's experiencing that or all the time, or even sometimes, like, I mean, I literally remind myself sometimes, I'm like, okay, be here. Like I have to bring myself back to now. I'm like, come back. Yeah. And I'll do things like really like feel my bum in the chair. You know what I mean? Or I'm like, put my hand on the desk, or like you said, like go outside in nature and just like bring whoop right back, you know, bring it all back right now. So that's just a little trick and tool that I use in my life to come back.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
good. Yeah. So what I think will work best, if this is cool with you, is I'll go through the four questions.
Awesome.
And then if Osira wants to come in and say some words, we'll do that. What do you think?
That sounds good.
Okay, perfect. So those of you that are listening in, you know the four questions we ask all of our guests, and we always get fun, cool, new answers. This is based on my proprietary process called the Anatomy of Transformation. Okay. And there are four steps in that. The first is truth. And I really believe that when we get to deep truths or discover new truths within ourselves, that really sets things in motion. And so what is a deep truth that you've discovered anytime along your journey that had a profound impact on your life?
A deep truth that had a profound impact on my life. God, oh my goodness, there are so many. I would have to say that only love is real. And that sounds like a quote from another place, and it is. But my experience is that even in the darkest pain, even in the darkest experiences, even in the roughest parts of life inside myself and outside myself, which is a really hard contrast to really break down, because the world looks pretty ugly sometimes and pretty hard to take. And in those places, I've applied that in myself with that. If there's God, if there's a reason for this, it's the love that is real here. And even in the darkest places, that is what I have found. And I have been through some things, and I have looked outside myself at the world and really looked into the face of some of those dark, awful things that are painful and hard to bear. And somehow there is a light that comes back around in that way that I look. And I just really know that this is all for the good. This is all for the light. This is all for love, this creation, even when it looks like the utter epitome of not that.
Mm, I love that. That's so beautiful. The second pillar is called release. And usually when we discover a deep truth, there are things, beliefs, limitations, preconceived notions, even people, experiences, something that we release when we realize that, a way we've seen the world or feelings that we've been feeling about it. So what would be something when you were discovering that, like, really at the end of the day, like, it's all love, mm-hmm. What had to be released for you?
Judgment.
Yeah.
Judgment had to be released. And it still is an ongoing thing. That's why I say I'm always evolving. I'm never arrived. I'm not at the grand poopah, you know, like I've got it all, the answers, not it by any stretch, because I want to always be evolving. So I'm listening deeply in my own experiences, whatever they are, whatever life brings me. I'm looking at myself, honestly, regularly. I always am in self-reflection, and I one of the greatest teachings and blessings that Osiris has given, as well as Mother Mary and some other ones, but they're this real looking at how it is that we judge. And there's, you know, that's the thing, is when we judge things, if I release judgment, I trust the infinite intelligence, the source of all creation. And when I release judgment, I just don't know why anybody is going through anything or why the world is the way it is, other than it's all for love. Now, that may sound really pie in the sky, but if you really go through your own life with these kinds of processes happening on the interior and asking yourself these kinds of questions, you're going to change. I'm changing based upon those kinds of questions and really letting go of a lot of things that I thought I had to hold on to, including judgment. So, you know, judgment is the place where we get trapped. It's like being in a spider web. It's sticky. You can't get out. It's so painful there. And we make excuses and we tie ourselves down, and then we get people to agree with us. And it's just, I just have learned a lot about, I can't judge. Now, that doesn't mean I don't. I just have to catch myself when I am, and I have to pay attention to what it is that's coming up. I have to learn those lessons when it's there. And then I do my best to release the judgment and learn the lessons and move forward in my own self. I can't do that for anybody else. I can't do that for anybody else on any level. I can just do that for myself. And then as I do that, I become some version of something that shines that light into the world.
Mm. That's so good. We're just ending. No, I'm joking. But that's just so good. That's so profound. I want to put a big period on the end of the importance of that, because, you know, it leads me into like the third pillar, which you kind of touched on, which is experience, which is, you know, when you release that judgment, your experience of life changes. Like, what you are, the lens you're looking through and the things that come into your life and how you are interacting with the things that come into your life change. And so you touched on some of that, but is there anything else that you want to share about how that experience changes when you're outside of judgment, or like catching it quickly and not going down that road?
You know, it's hard to translate for me. I'm hoping as I grow even older, I will be able to articulate that in a better way, but because it sounds, how I'll say it right now is, when I release judgment and I look upon my life, myself, the world as perfect, in that there is that all things are happening in a divine right order. If I really set myself into that place, there's nothing, there's no pain in that. There's only trust. And one of the big things I said before that I come to regularly and try to offer people is that trusting ourselves, it's like having faith, but it's different. Trust and faith go hand in hand, but trusting the process of living, trusting, there's a detachment that happens. It's sort of a very Buddhist thing too. There's an unattached place inside of me that realizes when I release judgment, I'm unattached, right? I'm unattached to what is right or wrong, who's doing what is wrong or right, how the world is working, what is happening outside. And people can sometimes jump in on that as like, well, you can't say that because these people doing that to those people is wrong. And I get that. I get that on a human level completely. But there's a part of one where you step back and you realize this is a game. This, and I don't mean to trivialize it, but this is a perfection that is happening in order for transformation to occur.
Yes.
And all souls are embodied to be a part of that transformation as a reflection to each other. So there is not something happening here that is out of alignment. It's all perfect, but we are in it playing the game, thinking that there's judgment, that it's necessary to hold that place. That's just the construct. That's the game. When you detach from the game and you see it the way that it really is, and you energetically feel it that way, you realize, you know, I don't have to take a hammer out in the world and fix it. The world will be fine. I'm here to become that which I'm supposed to become as a part of the game. And I will evolve into the places that I'm to evolve into. But when I take my hammer out there, I say, you know, that's right and that's wrong. Let me pound it into your mind and let me change you this way or that way. That doesn't even work. It's just more of the same. When I detach from it and I recognize the higher wisdom and the higher truth, man, I'm more free. I'm more free to be what I've come here to be. And that's what we all really want. The rest is the distraction. The rest, the judgment game, is the distraction. So you can get caught up in that whirlwind. You can get caught up in that, you know, tornado. But
yeah,
you're just going to be spiraling around in a lot of pain for a long time. Get out of that one and detach and see this is all perfect. That doesn't mean you don't take action. Because yeah, there are certain places where we do take action. But we also know on some other level that this is all just right.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I agree 100,000,000% with everything you're saying. I feel that is my truth, right? Mm-hmm. And the fourth pillar is align, which when we start to see, I mean, this is like, you're giving the perfect example of the transformation, because when you start to see through that lens, mm-hmm. right, you then align with that frequency, with that energy, with that understanding, right? And things then hold you in that alignment, right? Like you, the way you're then interacting with the world and seeing things. And for some people, you know, alignment is practices that hold them in that space. For some people, alignment is spirit. For some people, you know, alignment is a circle, like a women's circle, right? That has them keep returning to that space that they know is true, but sometimes we all get off track. So for you, what is that alignment of that place where there isn't the judgment that something should be different or it's wrong?
Mm. I would have to say that is when I get into the silence within myself, within the consciousness, with slowing down, with really remembering, I don't know how to say it any other way than the higher truths, the God source truths that all is well. Aligning with that is, there's a peace there. There's a sweetness, a slowness, a gentleness, an understanding. There's a grace to that place where if you're listening within yourself, and you've done a lot of the work, or you've gotten out of your own way enough, or you've transmuted, you know, you come to know there's not the disharmony, and you feel the alignment. You feel it, you know it, you connect to it, it locks in, and it's just sort of like touching that remembrance. A lot of times, and I was feeling this for so many years myself, we talk about remembering, you know, and I do believe that is what is happening to a certain extent. We're remembering awake. We are remembering awake to I think, you know, when we come into a human life, the body and the world that we're living in is we are sleepwalkers until we're waking up, and we're waking up to remember. And as we wake up to remember, and when we fully remember, eventually, once we anchor that enough to what our soul's design is for, we will anchor that enough and we will decide to leave the body. And when we leave the body, that's the ultimate remembering. We're going back to the real world. We're going back to the truth of the creation. We're going, and that is where everything is possible. Here's where limitation is. Here's where the game is played in a different way. It's like when you go into an arcade and you play the video games, or you go onto your phone and you play games. The games are, they have the limitations. They put up the barriers. They put up the roadblocks. So for me to align, I step out of that. I get out of that. And I just get back in and I remember. And then I feel it. It just comes in. And that's where the greatest level of trust is for me, is in that place where I feel and know and remember and hold the alignment to truth, to source, source as me, source codes as me, source consciousness as me, the creation as the one that I am. And so I've gained that, I believe, through my spiritual walk, my spiritual practices, through the ones that I've channeled, I believe through literally just through osmosis has, you know, landed inside of my beingness. And many people would say that the ones I channel are a part of me. And I don't have a problem with that. So, and yet I'm still very human and have had my real hard experiences and real great pains and real things to overcome and real life human walk. But, you know, when I sort of let go of that and surrender into a place of remembering my infinite creation potential as source, that's where the alignment is. So people do practice, and I do love practices. And there are things that when we get out of alignment, we need to go back to. One of those great things for me is doing breath work. Breath in any kind of way, whether or not we choose to do that through yoga or exercise or active certain kinds of breath empowerments or breath work. That's another way that I align and vibrationally in the body hook the system back up to that alignment, as you were saying.
Yeah, so great. Yeah. So great. Okay, do you have time?
I have like 2 minutes. So let's see what they can. It's going to be okay. So interesting to just do it like that, right? Like,
yeah.
So for those of you who are listening and who've never heard a channeler, it's just that I'm going to breathe, step away. They're going to come in and say whatever it is they want to say for just a couple minutes. I think it'd be fair. And then I'll come back and we can wrap it up. How's that sound?
Sounds perfect.
Yeah. Okay. Indeed, greetings to you, dear ones. We are that one known as Osira, and we are, in fact, overjoyed to be in this alignment with you. We are recognizing you. We are recognizing the way in which this conversation has been going with our beloved channel, the way in which this is an opportunity to reach many hearts and minds with our beloved human family, the experience to be human and the experience of humanity's evolution, as you are experiencing at this time on the planet, is an absolute upgrade. You are all moving through consciousness levels. This is a beautiful opportunity for your heart, your body, your mind, your souls to be in connection to each other, the ways and the allowance for that frequency to meet your soul, to meet your heart, to meet the way in which you can awaken yourself to the new embodiments on planet Earth. This is what you are seeing all around you. It is beautifully offered, we see, to say, even with our beloved channel and our friend this day, the conversation, the way in which this opens the many doors to many realities. This is a beautiful offering. We also say that the wisdom that is shared between hearts and souls as an evolutionary program is a part of the agreement that is happening now on the planet. So many of you are inching your way towards a more heart-expanded opportunity within you, the ways in which to have more love, more compassion for each other, as opposed to, as our beloved channel we see was already speaking about regarding judgment, for it is that in judgment attachment, the pain is more held to the body, the ways that the mind can hold constructs of belief wrapped tightly around old agreements that are dying. These old, we would call them patriarchal expressions, because we are labeling it that in a way, because that is what you are seeing. You are seeing a kind of destruction of old programs, old patterns, old constructs of belief that need to be dissolved. They are shifting and changing your consciousness as a human experience on the planet, your beautiful Mother Earth, as she is evolving and ascending as well. So there is this embodiment of form of being human. Being in form is a pinnacle of the soul. So being embodied is an opportunity of great expansion and awakening. You take on this charge as a part of a collective agreement. So many of you are soul family with each other. You find each other perfectly on the walk. There is such beautiful agreements that we would say, as we always say, for many, many years, there's never an accident. Those of you who meet each other upon the path along the way, it is never an accident. You meet everybody perfectly in alignment to the soul's agreements, to the higher understanding of the awakening that is happening on the planet. Every piece is perfect. We would say you are all activating this way of seeing a new world that can be born. In the ways of how when things must die, as you have the seasons, it is a beautiful opportunity to accept life as it is. Acceptance is a beautiful tenet that we would say as well, along with the idea of releasing judgment, is because as you accept, you expand. Accept your goodness. Accept your neighbor's goodness. Accept the allowance that things need to change for a new world to be born. For what you see around you as the experience of life in its many faces is sometimes very painful, we know. And some of that must come up in order to be born again. So we say that this is a perfect evolutionary consciousness jump. We are here with that and for that as an agreement for what we often say is that we are your future, you are our past. You are the remembrance of all that had to be in order to become the greatest versions of life itself. We say it is a blessing to be alive at this time on your planet, for you are literally world bridgers. You are change makers. You are the forerunners in humanity's evolutionary consciousness at a collective whole. Systems will be changing. People will be changing. Life is changing. The more that you can accept that, the freer and happier you will feel. And what we do notice with some of our human friends is it is not a natural state to feel happy. So you are learning to accept to feel good. Moment by moment, if you can say it's okay to be good, it is okay to feel okay, it is okay to be happy, it is okay to be joyful and spread that joyfulness, because we see there's much great conditioning in the suffering, and in the suffering there is the status quo, and in the status quo there is pain, and within that pain, that is what is going to be transmuted. That is what is changing and shifting upon your paradigm of reality. The more you can accept that there is a beautiful offering in the change, then you will be more in alignment to the higher frequencies that are evolving your planet. And that is the game you came for. We do believe we hit on almost everything that you both talked about in this moment. We are overjoyed, happy, and in great harmony to be here with you this day. We look forward to more. We bid you the most loving. And thank you, dear.
Mm-hmm. Hi.
Hi, that was amazing.
That was amazing, huh?
Yeah. They're good. They just came in and like boom, a few minutes.
Yeah. Sometimes
incredible wisdom.
Yeah. So just so people know, I don't really remember everything, but I get little hits. It's like a dream waking up, like when you first wake up and you sort of feel and remember everything. And so I'm aware that they said some wonderful things, but then it'll start to fade away. And it just, in my mind, it stays in the subconscious. It just stays with me. I just don't always know the exact thing. So,
Well, this has been absolutely an incredible conversation. Thank you to Osira for coming in and sharing with us at the end. And thank you, Grace, for just your heart and your authenticity and your honesty and sharing, you know, the journey and sharing beginning stages for those that feel like, wow, I'm just learning this. And then for other people that are, you know, deeper into their own awakening and transformation. I mean, I think we touched on so many different levels today. And I think that that's amazing, just meeting everyone where they're at. And I love you. And I'm just so grateful that our paths crossed. And I'm so grateful to know you and to, you know, be like on this journey. I feel like we're, you know, we're definitely soul family and it's an honor.
Thank you. It's my honor too, Shauna. I'm so grateful. Thank you for having me on today. Thank you for all the people who listen at any time. So I'm really deeply, deeply honored to be a part of this beautiful awakening and revolution on this planet. Thanks, honey.
Let's talk about taking some serious action. If you're new to the Take Action section, we take a new action each week to move closer to our intentions. Our Take Action item this week is to journal about the ways you may be channeling in your daily life. When do you feel most tuned in? And what do you do to reconnect with your highest self? I will be back next week with more positive vibes and powerful awakenings. Sending you love and wishing you a great week ahead.